This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. We already have news this Monday, Jeffrey. NFL news.
Jeff, we have confirmed that if you lose to the Panthers, it is indeed a fireable offense.
Yep.
The New Orleans Saints have fired Dennis Allen.
New Orleans Saints have fired. Weren't they just 2-0? Just the other day.
They were 2-0 with
like the other day.
Like
they were 2-0.
Plus 100 point differential.
So maybe don't overreact to things in the world of sports. But the Saints are looking for a new coach first. A first firing. We haven't had another firing. Have we had another firing? There's not been another firing. This is it, right?
Is this our first one?
Isn't this it? Am I missing one? Am I missing a firing? Anyway, welcome to Monday, everybody. Welcome to this big week. It's funny. I was listening to the Open. I was at church yesterday. We had a potluck, Jeffrey.
Ooh.
Do you like a potluck?
It's definitely a very big church thing.
It's a church thing. I actually think a potluck is a. I think it's a great way to throw
Robert
a party.
Solid, duh.
Oh, Robert Saleh. Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Of course, I knew we were.
I was like, Robert Saleh.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The Jets just have so much drama that you're like trying to sort through all of this.
It's hard. Also, we had a big weekend.
We had a lot.
Back to the important things. Potluck.
Yes, of course.
I think a potluck is a great way to throw a party generally.
Yeah.
If I've never done it. I've never said, let's have a potluck at my house. You know, bring all the, from some group, whatever, everybody bring something. I think it's a pretty way good interest. You get interesting food. People try to put their best, you know, foot forward.
Sure.
Now at Idaho Presbyterian Church, they also have fried chicken that they serve, and then everything else is potluck. But anyway, I was at potluck, and one of the other members of the church said at the beginning of the show, "Who's that lady saying, you're good, you're good?" And I'm saying, "That's not a lady. That's Jason Williams."
Yeah.
That's Jason Williams. I had to tell the story again. By the way, the story kind of relates to the Joel Embiid story,
yes,
which we will get to later on in the show. But yeah, huge week, and obviously a massive day tomorrow as the first college football playoff rankings
yes.
will be released.
And Maction.
And massive day tomorrow. Yes. I'm just trying to think of everything that's happening tomorrow. Maction.
Yes.
Tell the people what Maction is, Jeffrey.
That is the return of Tuesday night football in the MAC conference. It's not good football, but it is fun football.
So we've got that tomorrow. And I know people are going to be on edge about that, right? And there's got a lot of me emotion and whatever about that. And then we got the first college football rankings tomorrow.
Yes. Everybody's already pre-mad.
Everyone's going to be pre-mad about that. People are campaigning for whoever they think should. But a lot of people think people are getting screwed.
Yep, already.
Whatever. There's a lot of talk about the process and everything else. And then you know what else we got? The trade deadline in the NFL tomorrow. Tomorrow, it turns out it's going to be a big day for America.
We've already had Mike Tannenbaum come up with an absurd trade. I think it was the Lions getting Myles Garrett, but also having to send out three first and Jameer Gibbs.
That was silly.
That was an all-time. That was great television.
That was silly. Anyway, so big day tomorrow. I hope you all are staying calm as we think about all these things that could be unfolding tomorrow. We also have a big day of radio today. Because we have the fight song roundup, which we will play. We'll do that in the next segment. We'll talk about those football teams that deserve to be toasted, honored for their performances over the weekend, and discuss those that deserve to be blown up. And then we got Chris Harrington, who's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. They got a big win. You know what, interestingly, Jeffrey, I'm not sure when we projected W's and L's, I'm not sure that this is where we would have landed, But I think maybe so, because I think we were looking at the Sixers in advance. You look at the Sixers road game.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid, Paul George. We probably chalked that up as an L. We might have chalked Milwaukee up as an L. We just didn't chalk Brooklyn up
correct.
As an and L. The and the Bulls on yeah. as an L.
Both
but we
of them,
may
yeah.
be right where we would have said we would have been, just traveling a very different path to get there.
I still think we're net minus one.
We're net minus one?
Because I think we...
We probably had them splitting.
We
maybe
said,
beat
we said
Milwaukee.
7-3, and then we kind of were like, well, we'd take 6-4.
Anyway, Grizzlies won, beating the Sixers over the weekend, and they play Brooklyn in what we're going to call an early revenge game.
Yes.
Tonight. And then the Grizzlies, the entire NBA, actually... takes tomorrow off in honor of the MAC action, I
yes.
think. Isn't that
what, yes. Well, NFL trade deadline.
The NFL trade deadline, yes. the MAC action.
Yeah.
The
MAC-tion.
MAC-tion.
Lights, camera, MAC-tion.
And the first playoff ranking. For all those reasons
yes.
are coalescing. I think that must be it, why the NBA is dark tomorrow.
Yes.
So the Grizzlies then come home to play the Lakers. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about that. But then we have we got the Memphis Tiger basketball team starting on there, a seventh season under Penny Hardaway. That's tonight against Missouri.
Indeed, home game.
Home game tonight against Missouri at FedEx Forum. So let's just discuss the three most prominent Memphis franchises.
All right.
In order. Not in order, but in order, certainly not in order of importance, but we'll take the three most prominent Memphis franchises, Memphis football, Memphis basketball, and the Grizzlies. And we'll briefly touch on them in the opening segment. We're going to leave out 901 FC, which sadly lost Jeffrey over the weekend. And so they are done.
If you're going to lose, though, that's a good weekend because it just gets lost in the shuffle.
The women's basketball team, by the way, at the University of Memphis begins today, 11 a.m., Mississippi Valley State. So that is happening as well. But let's go through the big three Memphis franchises and see what we think.
All right.
The first, Memphis football, lost to UTSA 44-36. Their season is effectively over. Done. Finished. This dream season, this season that had the potential at least to see them win a spot in the playoff or at the very least get their first conference championship under Ryan Silverfield or at the very least go to the championship first, the championship conference championship game for the first time under Ryan Silverfield. It appears that all those dreams, although not technically dead, are in fact deader than dead. What say you?
It was a very strange game because, I mean, I guess it kind of ends up getting into shootout territory. When you get into shootout territory, you have a high variance of results. But I didn't think they were playing that badly. And then you get the sequence, I guess, was it to start the fourth quarter where UTSA finally, like, takes the lead.
They scored 30 straight points.
Yeah. Well, it's like, but then Memphis was going to go down, and I felt like regain the lead, and then you get the turnover. And then they get down two scores, and then that was when it started to feel like, oh, this is gonna go a certain way.
I mean, we can analyze the game itself. Obviously, failing on those two big fourth down conversions, they ended up 0-for-4 on fourth down. But they were, while the game was, you know, while they had the chance to really make hay, they went for it twice on fourth down, stuffed both times on fourth down. UTSA is hard to run against. They could not do it. So that wasn't good. I mean, the game was sort of symbolized by DeMar Blankensee injuring himself on a touchdown celebration.
Yeah.
That was sort of the last good thing
yeah.
that happened until the desperate effort at the end to try to catch up.
They did have the sick touchdown, like the dropped interception that became a touchdown. Like, that was a fun play.
They, but up 24-14, they gave up 30 straight points. And here is my, to a team, by the way, that had just been blasted by Tulsa and that had 19 players out. And here is my fundamental conclusion about Memphis football. And the truth is, I think we've known this for a while, Jeffrey. They're not that good.
No.
They're not that good. It is a mediocre football team. Maybe it is maybe a top half of the conference football team, but it is a mediocre football team. It never looked like the team that people wanted it to look like. Seth Hennigan coming back, 4-year starter, going to light it up on offense finally. Remember all that talk about big plays are going to be back and the defense is going to be much more robust? Here's the truth. The defense looks good against bad teams, and the offense looks mediocre against bad teams. And they have never from the very beginning. Obviously, the Florida State win was a high, but it wasn't. It was actually pretty physically dominating, but we now know Florida State just stinks.
Yeah, everyone is beating Florida State except for Cal.
Stinks. And so beyond that, they're just not that good. And they haven't been that good. And I've been, because I'm an optimist and I like to preach hope, I've been telling you and thinking, oh, well, technically still alive, all of that.
Well, I mean, it was true.
And it was true. But here's the truth. I didn't expect them to lose this weekend. I certainly didn't expect them to beat Tulane, though. I never expected them to beat Tulane. Once it became clear what Memphis was, and it seems to be clear and clear what Tulane is,
you can
extend the fantasy. And I guess the sad thing here is the fantasy isn't going to be extended through Thanksgiving weekend when they're going to lose to Tulane.
Right.
And so now you're going to play Rice on Friday, and then you got UAB. Rice, by the way.
They did their
beat
part.
Navy. They did their part. That's the other thing. It is certainly a lost opportunity because Army and Navy were never going to lose. Well, Army wins, but their quarterback is out, Bryson Daly, for unexplained reasons, and so they kind of just squeaked by Air Force. So it's unclear exactly what's happening with him. And then Navy loses. It was a huge opportunity for Memphis to actually make up some ground here. And they just weren't up to it. And it is a very disappointing season. And as John Martin wrote in his column off of that game, this was exactly 5 years to the day. Saturday was 5 years to the day that game day was in town. And Memphis beats SMU in one of the, maybe the greatest day in Memphis football history. I think it is. You can say the Tennessee game or pick a game, but I think it's the greatest day.
All encompassing
the day that was enthusiasm, the packed stadium without any SEC fans there.
Yeah.
Like it was. And so 5 years hence, here's the truth. Look what SMU was doing over the weekend.
Yeah.
SMU blasted Pitt over the weekend and is now, you know, right up there with Miami.
And they're right now, they're after Clemson lost that night.
After Clemson loses. So you got, it's kind of sad to look around and see it. And you realize that I didn't expect Memphis. You can't expect Memphis to reach those heights. Game day isn't coming every week, right? Like but in the 5 years since that happened and since Mike Norvell left, they haven't even been to the conference title game.
Yep.
And what's weird is that after John's column, which was a pretty blunt column about the regression in this program, someone said on Twitter, I see that John is on the fire Silverfield train too now. This person wants to fire Silverfield. And of course, if you read John's column, it says nothing at all about firing Silverfield. Why? Because you get a 9 or 10 wins.
Probably going to still get the automatic extension.
And as he put in the column, with 9 wins, you get an automatic extension and raise. So not only is he not going to be fired, he's going to get an automatic extension and raise. But the problem is that this is not, and I'm not saying he should be fired or will be fired. That would be kind of crazy. But there's nothing inspirational about this. It is not good enough, and there's nothing inspirational about it. There's nothing particularly to rally around going forward. Ultimately, there will be a new stadium to rally around. That will give them an impetus going forward, but they're going to lose Seth Hennigan. I don't know. Here's the truth. Never would say he should be fired. Never would predict he will be fired. But would anyone be sad if he got another job?
No.
No.
And that's kind of where everybody is.
Yeah. But he won't get another job.
Highly unlikely.
And so there you are.
I mean, right now there's not. We don't even know like what the other jobs are going to be.
That's
like, right
true.
Now.
Like, but like, but you, who's hiring Ryan Silverfield for the money that he made? You know,
right.
You know, you're in a kind of a Josh Pastner situation.
Yes,
they're very similar, honestly.
Yes.
And this, by the way, is not to trash everything they've done. They've like you look back at the Josh Pastner era, and you're like, well, you know,
wasn't that bad.
You know, nice guy, won at a reasonably high level. It's very similar, just not at the level that you were used to. It's very similar. Internal hire, right?
Yep.
Internal hire, could keep the program together, had the momentum from the program, whatever else.
Well, you also thought,
job,
you thought you might get a few bigger names, and then you wind up.
Wins the press conference,
yeah.
And then reality sets in, and you're like, well, this is kind of not as good. It's a solid step down from what we used to do. It just is.
Yeah.
And ultimately with Josh, they encouraged him to leave. Now, you're not there with Ryan yet, and they're not, and I don't begin to think that they are there. But I don't know. I mean, the truth of the matter is before the season began, it was not at all fair to say that it is the line between success or failure is going to the playoff. That was silly. The only one
you
team
just didn't control.
You didn't control whatever. It was. It might not have even been fair to say win the conference championship, but it's pretty clear that the line between success and failure for Memphis football this year, when the season began, was getting to the championship game.
Yeah,
they will not. They failed.
Yes.
Okay. Onward to the Grizzlies. Grizzlies beat the Sixers over the weekend. And by the way, it's continuing to be, you know, it's funny. No one's mad about the minutes distribution when they're rolling, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, the truth of the matter is it was kind of a they got off to a slow start. It muddled around a little bit. We got a highlight. We're not going to play all the highlights from Saturday because we got a lot to get to. But we'll play. Can we play a highlight?
We can play a highlight.
What do we got?
Jeff, let's go to the play that I think everybody was talking the most about.
Gives to LaRavia, to Pippen, to Huff, to the rim! Two-handed hammer! Rocked the Liberty Bell, Jay Huff with that one, baby! Right down the middle of the lane, he thunders it home, and Jay Huff is going to go to the line for a three-point play.
That started with Ja on his butt again.
Yep, another butt.
This was not as spectacular, but the effort. I mean, it is very clear that Ja's defensive effort is ramped up this year.
Yes.
It feels like every game he's diving on the floor, right? So so that was impressive. But you had, I mean, just a lot of these numbers. 52-33, they out-rebounded the Sixers. 70 points in the paint. 27 fast break points. 7 players in double digits. They had 4 players who had double-doubles, Morant, Aldama, Pippen, and Edie, all with double-doubles, 35 assists. You didn't need hero ball from Ja, but honestly, Ja and Pippen together had 25 assists.
Yep.
Like, it was Wells is playing well with 15 points, Huff with a career-high 20, Ja, as I said, 18 and 12. I just thought it was a really impressive performance. And coming off the news, we did get the injury update for Marcus Smart and Desmond Bane, both week to week. And then Vince should be returning within 2 to 4 weeks. So you got those two week to week, Vince returning within 2 to 4 weeks. They're looking forward to his return. How did you feel about the news that they would be week to week?
Didn't that, I felt like that kind of just jived with what we were expecting. I mean,
were you more happy or more sad?
I was,
if 10 was, my God, this is the best news ever, and 1 is devastating, jazz out for the season, how you would feel there. How did you feel upon hearing the news of
my immediate like gut reaction was, that sounds about right.
But I want to know good or bad. I want to know more good or more bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was like, it was 100%.
Neither.
Yeah.
You felt neither.
Yeah, I did not sway.
I felt more good because disaster had been averted. Like, there was some at least small potential for
and I guess that's
disaster.
And the problem is, I didn't really think
didn't
that
think
was on
was
that
any.
Table.
So I felt more, you know, no one wants to lose these players week to week. It's ridiculous. More injuries for the Grizzlies. But that's where we are. That for me, week to week is like, oh, good. You know, like, whew, that one, avoided that one. I thought it was, I was a six in terms of happiness over that. And it was fun watching the Grizz Saturday, although there was a lot of college football mixed in. And now they got Brooklyn tonight. Will they take the revenge, Jeffrey?
I'm going to say they get their revenge.
I'm going to say that they get their revenge. And then we have, making our way through these three franchises or clubs or teams, we have the Memphis Tiger basketball team making their debut tonight against Missouri at FedEx Forum. Interesting Missouri team, which did not win a single SEC game last year, and then went out and got basically a whole new team.
Yes, which is, I would imagine, is
going to those things are related.
Yes.
Right, those things are related. They get Mark Mitchell, who played decently at Duke for a couple of years, and so he may be the star of the show. The 13th-ranked transfer class in the country and the 5th-ranked incoming high school class in the country. Honestly, you're not going to have the problem that you had when you were playing North Carolina and Alabama, that you're playing established teams with established cultures and whatever else. They're building this on the fly, maybe even more than you are.
Yeah.
Right?
So
you have that advantage. You're getting Missouri early.
And you just start at home.
And you're starting at home. I expect them to win. I think that's the line's 4.
That's what I saw this morning.
So I expect them to win tonight. I did write a column about Penny and this year. And in it, I said a few things. Some of them are include this, Jeffrey.
All right.
This is the least anticipated Memphis Tiger basketball year since Penny Hardaway was hired.
I think that's probably fair.
When was a season that was came with fewer hopes and expectations? When's the last one? Tubby year 2?
Probably. That season had
doesn't
no
mean
fame.
It doesn't mean it doesn't
now
mean,
I still think this is way higher than that was, but if you're talking since yes,
yeah, and it doesn't mean it can't exceed them. It doesn't
100%.
Mean it can't, but I'm just saying going into this,
yeah.
There's less buzz, less expectations than any other year of Penny Hardaway's tenure. That's partly because at the beginning the expectations were crazy. They were through the roof. They were national championship stuff, right? And then, but every year there's been reasons to be enthusiastic, whether it's even if they don't turn out to actually be real, like Amani Bates was a reason
sure.
once. Kendrick was certainly a reason once, and that proven to be a real reason to be enthusiastic. Here, last year, well, look at the roster of talented transfers who he's assembled, right?
Yep.
One after another, who had done things. Now the problem is you're seeing this. It's the same model as last year. With players who are less high profile, maybe better, but a little less high profile coming in, and we just saw it not work last year.
Yeah.
So for all those reasons, I think it's the least anticipated Memphis Tiger season in a long time. I also think it may be the most pivotal in a long time because, and this is not a novel thought, the range of options here of what could happen is kind of extraordinary. You, on the one hand, you could have Penny going back to the tournament. And if you go back to the tournament and you're Penny Hardaway and you've recast your coaching staff and you've said you've learned a lot and you've got a new sort of humility and approach and you go back to the tournament, you can then say, listen, I had some bumps along the way, but I'm still learning and I've gone to the NCAA tournament. We've gone to the NCAA tournament 3 out of the last 4 years. That's pretty good. It's not multiple national championships or anything like that, but that's pretty damn good. We only missed the 1 year when the chemistry was just totally off. I think that's a pretty good story you can tell at the end of this year, even if you don't get to the second weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, to me, it's the same. If we're going to use our Tiger football, like what the baseline was, making the tournament.
Yeah. If for Tiger football, it was pass-fail was getting to the championship
yes.
game. Here, pass-fail is making the tournament.
Yes.
Now, if they don't make the tournament, then for the first time, really, since Penny got here, there will be real questions about Penny, whether Penny will and should return as the coach. It's not a question. People have been unhappy with Penny at various points, belong or criticized Penny's coaching at various points. But no one has ever said, again, I maintain this, I have never heard a commentator in Memphis say Penny should be fired. Ever. And any other coach with his record since he'd gotten to Memphis, that would have been said about.
Yeah.
Right? But no one has ever said that because he's freaking Penny Hardaway and people want to see him succeed. He's an icon. He's here for the right reasons. All of those things are true and people want him to succeed. And so there's a double standard and it is well earned by Penny. He has earned it by his devotion and his service to the city. But if you don't make it this year, at the end of year 7, all you can point to is 2 tournament appearances and not a single conference. Back to Ryan, not a single conference championship for Memphis basketball in this watered down conference. How in the world can you defend that?
No, I mean that's why I do feel like this is a very pivotal year.
It is a pivotal year. It is. Now, again, it's funny because I got some pushback here from David Boyd, my sports editor. He was playing devil's advocate. He said, "You say it's a pivotal year. If they miss, what are you saying? I'm saying they're going to fire him?" And I don't know the answer to that. I actually can't say that because it's Penny Hardaway, right? You know, but
well, and also there's other factors that go into it. But yes.
Right? Yeah, but in terms. There's also things that aren't involved firing. There's walking away.
Yep.
You know, we've certainly seen that in a lot of college football. And again, as I said in the column today, I think everyone wants him to succeed.
Yes.
I do. You do. John does. Any person I talk on the street, like the hope here, it's interesting. One of the real bursts of optimism that I witnessed over the weekend was both the beat writers for the CA and the Daily Memphian literally predicted that they would go to the Sweet 16. And I'm like, are they pumping helium into the media room over there where those guys are working? Like, or whatever hallucinogen? How could you in good conscience predict a Sweet 16 for this team? Given that it is one of the least talented of Penny's teams and Penny hasn't certainly hadn't done it yet. Like, why would you? Could you objectively predict a Sweet 16 for this team?
No, but I do think I could predict the tournament.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
It is totally.
But I think you raised an interesting question. Has Penny had a team that overachieved? I think the best example I would give was the first team. Like, I don't think that team was any good at all.
Right.
And I actually think that was his best coaching.
Well, and I think he pretty much got out of the Kendrick team. He pretty much got like that.
I don't feel like they overachieved.
No. They didn't overachieve. No. I mean, the truth of the matter, so much hinges on that stupid loss in the tournament.
Yes.
That stupid loss.
And we could be in like a completely different universe.
Yes. Right. Then you'd be looking. And it's crazy that it comes down to that. I guess here's my larger point though, that I made. This is a critical time for Memphis sports generally. It's really hard to compete with the Grizzlies. And I'm not saying like I'm not pitting anyone against anyone, but people do have so many dollars and there's so much airtime and enthusiasm or whatever in a city. And if you've got a Memphis football team that people feel about like we discussed earlier, like what is there exactly to rally around here, right? And then you've got a Memphis basketball team. Between 73 and 2009, they went to 11 Sweet 16s. That's better than one every 4 years. Sweet 16 was a regular thing. And that's the definition of a deep tournament run, right? But first weekend, second weekend. You have a chance to really believe, really get behind the team. It's really exciting. It's really fun. That's honestly when, if you wonder why, how Memphis became a Tiger town, how Memphis became this town where Jerry West moved here and said, what the hell is the interest in all this college basketball are bigger than the Grizzlies, right? Why? It's because they went to 11 Sweet 16s from 73 to 2009.
Well, and historically, you know,
it was the thing. But also winning made it the thing.
My point is, but I also think it was winning and largely set aside the Cal years, but largely it was with local guys.
And that was part of it, too.
Yes.
But it was a level of success that produced a level of momentum and enthusiasm and experience and meeting the players at the airport and all this stuff that and memories that then connect you to future teams. And that's why Memphis basketball became an institution. And the Final Fours were obviously like they were the secret sauce, but very consistently, if you are a Memphis basketball fan, every 4 years you were going to the Sweet 16. There was an 8 year run in there where you weren't, or there were some.
Well, there's always a probation time,
Now it has been 15 seasons have passed. 15 seasons have passed that there has not been a Sweet 16. They need to, whether it's Penny or someone else, they need to get back to winning at that level, at least occasionally. If you are 25 years old, how old would you have to be to really remember and to have been part of a tournament run? So you're seven in 2000, and if you're seven, you remember it, right? If you were seven in 2009, okay?
That's kind of fringe.
Fringe? 10? Do you have got to be 10?
Yeah. I think 10's kind of the
spot. So you basically, no one 25 or under in Memphis remembers the Memphis basketball team being any good.
Yeah. And
no one 25 or under remembers Grizzlies runs. And they did, and all those people 25 and under remember the Grizzlies runs. You need to. It's a simple thing. You need to win, baby. You know, you need deep tournament runs to build that kind of enthusiasm and momentum for the program. And so it's not. It is a pivotal year for Penny, unquestionably. I think it's a pivotal year for the program. And Ed Scott is dealing with all of this, right? He's dealing with this and the state of Memphis football, which is kind of in this weird, neither here nor there, you know, land. And you're dealing it with Memphis basketball, which has 15 years since they've been to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why. I don't know if I did it last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe, like, with Cerrito, I was like, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Either football or basketball needs to win a conference title.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, I said that earlier about Parth and Jason, that I was kind of stunned to see them both predicting Sweet 16s for the Memphis Tigers. But let me ask you this. They follow it much more closely than I do. Do you think there is real reason for their optimism this year? Or is it wishful thinking?
Yeah, I can buy that.
They're much closer than I am.
I know Jason is a believer in the roster construction, and I mean that's the other thing. It's like, I guess it kind of depends on how do you view the Alabama thing. But it's like, we expect that North Carolina is going to be good, and I didn't feel like they were outclassed in that.
Well,
game.
And here's the other thing. It's so different because once you get to the conference, you're not playing Alabama or anything
right.
close to Alabama or anything that even resembles anything about Alabama or UNC. You don't have to be better than Alabama. You just got to be better than UAB. And that's a very – UAB is in Alabama.
Yeah.
And so there is that connection.
But otherwise, the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Right, exactly. But otherwise, not these are not the same thing. And so, yeah, what do you take from that yardstick? It's really impossible to know, not just because it's early season and what do you do with the fact that Memphis came back in the second half and played much better, whatever, but also because you're not playing anything like that once you get to the conference play.
No. And you're probably only playing anything like that. I mean, I guess with UConn, you'll be playing that, and they have a very formidable non-conference schedule, but there's a difference, I think, between the Alabamas of the world. Like, Alabama and UConn are the same thing, I think. But other than that, it's like you're going to play a lot of good teams, but not that.
So, big night down at FedEx Forum as Missouri rolls into town. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're late for the Fight Song Roundup. We will do that next. If you're selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. Simple as that. 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. It's Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty. It almost seems greedy to be talking about multiple offers on your home, but that's what Josh is capable of producing. Jody had recently sold her house. So he heard me talking about it, calls Josh, lists her house. Within a couple days, multiple offers on her home. That way, you don't have to take the lowball offer. You just see who's offering you the most. It's the way to go. Again, Josh can't promise that, but he can promise you flexible freeze, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time, and has the kind of marketing that can produce multiple offers on your home. It's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back with a fight song roundup in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, we got to get to it. Let's do the fight song roundup. Well, we had said that Arkansas is where Ole Miss dreams go to die. Not this time.
Not even close.
Not even close. 63-31. Blowout. Jackson Dart, 515 yards. Six touchdowns. Maybe even more surprising, Jordan Watkins' day.
Indeed.
In the first half alone, five catches, 172 yards, three touchdowns. No Trey Harris, no pre-scoring, no problem. Ended up with 8 for 254 and 5 touchdowns. This was an absolute blowout. Some concern that maybe Henry Parrish Jr. got a little banged up. That wasn't great.
Yeah, they're still going to have the running back issues. But, I mean, to me, the key is if their offensive line protects like they did on Saturday, Jackson Dart is kind of like in a zone right now. I mean, basically, Ole Miss had
beaten one-on-one coverage, and
I mean,
he was throwing
dimes. The first drive they get stuffed at whatever the two,
and obviously he's frustrated after that, visibly frustrated.
But that was a 13-play, 76-yard drive. Then you had touchdown, 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 punt, touchdown, 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 touchdown.
Seems okay to me.
They had 11 like real drives, and 8 were scoring drives of touchdowns.
And now here we go. Georgia.
I mean, you have a chance to make up for the Kentucky game.
You can make up for the Kentucky game. A Georgia team that, depending on what week you get them, Carson Beck throws 3 more picks against Florida. He's now thrown 11 in 5 games. I saw someone this morning saying he's now a third-round pick, maybe. Obviously struggled to beat Florida. That game was tied late.
No, I mean, if Flagway doesn't get hurt, Yale, that becomes a very, very different game.
So, obviously we'll talk more about that game as the week goes on. But Memphis' dream's dead. Ole Miss is still alive.
Still alive.
Still alive. All right, what's next? I don't know when we play. Do we play Ohio State much?
Not much, because they don't really
they lose all the big games.
Yeah.
Do something that's impressive. Well, this was kind of impressive. I mean, they did what they did. They always beat Penn State. They beat Penn State. They did not allow an offensive touchdown.
No.
And Penn State couldn't do anything.
No. Anything. And then you had the massive interception at the end of the half. And then, I mean, realistically, like, you give them the defensive, the pick six, and then Will Howard fumbles the ball going out of the end zone. Yep. Like, this was lucky just to be like a one-score game.
Then they get to the 3 with 6:47 left. Do you have problems with play calling there? What do you make of
I didn't have a problem with the play calling, because they tried to run the ball. They tried to run the ball, and then they couldn't do it. And so at a certain point, you got to do something. And
well, I mean, Memphis might have learned that. Like Memphis. First time on fourth down, they went for it. They're like, this isn't good. Maybe I didn't have any problem with, by the way, Memphis going for it on those.
No,
at all.
No, especially the way that game was trending.
Anyway, so
Penn State, like, the whole deal is you build behind this offensive line, like whatnot. You're supposed to be able to run the ball in. Right. They couldn't do it.
Now, here's the thing. You can say this is a bad look for James Franklin, and it is. 1-10 versus the Buckeyes. 1-13 versus top 5 AP ranked teams. That's not good. But Penn State's kind of fine. You know, they're 7-1 with wins over whatever, West Virginia, USC, Wisconsin. That is what USC don't look so good. But, I mean, I think Penn State's fine right now. They would be in.
Yes.
They will be in Tuesday.
Yes. I mean, this is just kind of where they operate. It's like they're not Ohio State, but they're pretty good.
And being that in a world of a 12-team playoff is more rewarding than before the 12-team playoff.
Yes, for now, and then you're going to eventually run into the same issue of, like, you don't win playoff
games. No, that's true.
Yes.
You push it down the road a little bit. Anyway, Ohio State wins, and where do you expect them to be in the rankings tomorrow?
So I think...
Two? Three. Or,
I think Oregon will be
Oregon's
one.
Oregon's clearly one.
I think Georgia's going to be two. I think they'll be three. But then you run into the problem of it doesn't really matter, because if you're not going to be... if you're not going to win the Big Ten, like, they have to beat Oregon in the rematch.
Right.
Like,
they're going to be, they're not going to get the first round bye. All right. Who's next? Woo!
What a second half. What a start and what a second half.
South Carolina rips Texas A&M. Rocket Sanders, big day. 144 rushing, 92 receiving. Sellers was good, too, both with his arm and his legs, Jeffrey. So here you have a South Carolina team that in the last three games lost close to Alabama, drills Oklahoma, and then beats A&M.
Yeah, to me, this was a game of, that environment was insane on Saturday night. Like, that was, like, what you love about college football. And then the real big thing was, while South Carolina's defensive line didn't put up all the sacks until late, you could tell they were controlling the game. And then on offense, it was a shot play game, and they had 15 plays of 15 explosive plays, and that was the difference.
And now the SEC's a mess.
Or is it?
Yeah, is it
cleaning up in the way that
up?
You know what I mean? It becomes a mess if like Ole Miss wins this week, if Texas A&M or Texas loses another game,
but
if Georgia wins, we're now kind of setting up to where Georgia and Texas could be on a path to the SEC.
We're not playing Tennessee's fight song, period, today, because they're not going to get blown up. They win. They beat Kentucky. Yeah.
Didn't cover.
But they didn't cover. They struggled.
Correct.
They had another slow start. That's what they do. Dylan Sampson scored another touchdown. That's what he does. Wide receivers, I think, are a problem. Max Gilbert is the kicker right here in Memphis, Tennessee. He had a tough day. He had a tough day. It's interesting. His mom is very active on social media. She's like, in a totally proud mom kind of way. I enjoy reading her updates, how much... And she posts about the good days, and he started off the season really well.
Yeah.
And now he's had two bad days. And she wrote about that. She wrote about how he's not on social media, how the team, whatever else. But obviously misses three field goals. He's 1-6 in his last two. So that's a point of vulnerability. I hope, seems like a good kid. I hope he's obviously a hardworking kid, and I hope he's a local kid, so I hope he gets that straightened out. But what did you make of this? Win and move on? Win in advance, Jeffrey?
Yeah, that's just like you didn't play well, you won your clunker, move on.
All right. At some point, Jeffrey, on this next one, you're going to have to start believing. You keep picking against Indiana.
Well, in fairness, I looked pretty good for 15 minutes.
47. Yeah, they trailed for the first time this year.
Yeah. They're 10-0.
For the first. And they win 47-10.
They got hot.
They did get hot. Indeed, they have been hot. I never expected that we would be playing the Indiana fight song as much as we have this year. 47-10, 9-0. And it's not just the offense. 7 sacks, 15 tackles for loss. Indiana rolls on. What is the committee going to do with them tomorrow, Jeffrey?
Feels like somewhere between 6-10, right? Because they do have, while they are smoking people, and they are, they do have the problem of, what is their best resume?
What's their signature win?
They don't have, the great win. Now, they have the opportunity. Like, that's the whole point.
Even some of them, like, they beat Nebraska, right? And that could have looked okay, right? And then Nebraska's doing what they're doing.
Correct.
You know? Nebraska's, like, stalled at 5 wins again.
Yes.
As they were last year.
Yes.
What are they? Last year they lose four straight after getting to five. And now they've lost 2 straight after getting to 5. Anyway, shout out to Indiana. But shout out particularly to our next honoree. How about that? Vandy, 17-7 over Auburn. They beat Alabama and Auburn in the same year.
Diego's now 3-0 against Hugh Freeze.
It's just fantastic. Bowl eligible Vandy.
I thought this was an important one for them to get because you can tell the toll of all of these big games kind of is really stacking up. And you can just see, like, Diego doesn't have the same burst that he had had. Like, he's clearly banged up. Like, you look at the rest of their schedule. I think it's like South Carolina. I think it's South Carolina, LSU, Tennessee, maybe. I think it was big to get this one.
Clark Lee was 9-27 in his first 3 years. Says, screw this, I'm going to the portal. And he built himself a plucky team around a plucky quarterback and the plucky defense this time. And some play calling by Hugh Freeze you didn't agree with?
I mean, he called timeout with 2:01. He forgot about the two-minute warning or the two-minute timeout. He literally called a timeout with 2:01 on a punt. So, like, they're going to punt. The clock's going to stop. It's a change of possession. For all intents and purposes, the clock would be the exact same spot.
Right.
And instead, you have one less timeout. Now, I think the game was over with at that point anyway.
Right.
But this is also kind of what Hugh does. Like, when he thinks the game's going a certain way, he just kind of, like, throws in the towel.
First win ever for Vandy at Jordan-Hare. I almost couldn't believe that.
We looked it up. It's the first time they've beaten Alabama and Auburn in the same year since 1955.
It's only their 10th visit to Jordan-Hare.
Right.
So it's not like they've been going there for decades and decades and decades. But still, first win at Jordan-Hare. Good for Vandy. All right, we got some teams we could blow up.
Don't forget, we also had the Boo Birds that Hugh didn't hear.
We could blow up Nebraska, the aforementioned Nebraska, losing to UCLA, a chance to get bowl eligible. We could blow up USC, Lincoln Riley. That's not going as well as I think they desired. I don't know that we could blow up Clemson, but turns out this Clemson winning streak slightly fraudulent.
Yeah.
Right? I think you called that, actually. You said
I just didn't have the guts. I didn't have the guts to bet it.
But you did indicate that you weren't quite the believer. But I hate to say it, ladies and gentlemen, given the expectations of the season and given the results Saturday, we have to do what we have to do. Yeah. Got him to think. You know, the season started, we had the mighty sound of the South in here, pumping us up. And now we're forced to blow up that magnificent fight song. It's sort of poetic the way basketball season is starting tonight, isn't it?
No, I even said that on Saturday. Yeah. It's good to get that loss out of the way because basketball starts on Sunday.
Yeah,
Monday.
Nice little symmetry there. Yeah. Wrap one up and move on to the next. Hate to do it. No way around it. That was disappointing. All right, Chris Harrington next on the Grizzlies. If you are getting something framed this holiday season, that's a very thoughtful gift, by the way. Present someone in a beautiful frame. Head to the Frame Corner right there on Park Avenue, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. You can buy a frame. You can do that. Stick a frame under the tree or someone's stocking. Frames are nice for people to slip photos in. But if you have something, sports memorabilia, collection of photos, piece of art, that you need to be beautifully framed. What it does is it preserves something forever. It makes it a memory forever. And they do a beautiful job of custom framing at the Frame Corner. FrameCornerMemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.